Let us turn to the Word. We're going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden of God. I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. May God speak to our hearts and minds through this holy word, and may his name be ever praised.
Let us pray. Father God, we praise your name. We thank you for this time we have together, that Jesus Christ is in our midst, and that your Holy Spirit binds us together in perfect harmony. Hallowed be your name. How majestic be your name. Lord, we bring our lives to you, and we pray that you will make all things beautiful in your time in our lives. If there is anyone here, Lord, who needs a fresh touch of your hand on their body, may you, great physician, reach out and touch. If there is any person here whose heart is broken or breaking, may you heal. May you mend. May you restore and make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, we bring our relationships to you. If there is any marriage here that needs your touch, your healing, I pray for that marriage. I pray that you will make it a beautiful thing in your time. Lord, we pray for those close to us, our loved ones, our friends. We pray for those who need you, who do not know you. We pray for those who know you and have forsaken you. We pray for those who are straying from your word and straying from your path. And we pray, Lord God, that you will minister to them and bring them back to you and help them to see you, your faith. Help them to see your work in their lives. And Lord, we pray for this fellowship. Our desire, Lord, is to worship you, and I pray that you will help us to continually grow in how to worship and worship you in fullness and truth, and that you will be pleased. I bring these prayers to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will hear them and respond as you have promised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
From the New Testament, this is from Mark 4, starting with verse 26 This is Jesus speaking. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. And all by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever.
Bow your heads with me in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do now pray the words that we just sang. Open our hearts that we may hear the words prepared and the words that you've laid on the heart of the speaker this morning. Help us to bring those words to our individual lives, not just to listen, but to understand. And for us to see your will in our lives. For we ask these things through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I'd like to read from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus chose to use some of these words, read some of these words in the synagogue in Nazareth. And whenever I read them, I am immediately back there in Nazareth. I've been there a number of times. The last time I was there in 2008, the National Christian Choir sang in Nazareth, and we stayed in a hotel that was on the precipice where they tried to throw Jesus off of the cliff when he read these words. So I see in my mind what I'm reading. And some of you in this room have been there, and you can also see it. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Now, I chose this scripture for a number of reasons. I was attracted to it today because of the birth of this fellowship. First of all, bind up the brokenhearted. Some of you have had your hearts broken because the church where you loved God and you were loved by him is no longer the church in which you feel comfortable to worship. Jesus wants to turn your broken heart into a heart of gladness. And another verse, comfort all who mourn. Some of you have mourned over the loss of your past worship life and the loss of friends in that worship life with whom you've walked side by side for a long time. Jesus wants to turn your mourning into laughter. He wants to bestow a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of despair. But the primary reason I was drawn to this scripture for today was verse 3, the ending of it, which reads this way. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord for the display of his splendor. April showers bring May flowers. Someone said April showers bring a great deal more. April showers bring spading and fertilizing and digging and watering and weeding. April is here. You've already done a great deal of the spading and the fertilizing, and now you are planting. Today you are planting. And what we represent in this very room today is a seed. You are a seed, a planted seed. As we were driving here today, we passed a farmer's field that had been prepared for planting. And Elizabeth looked out the window and she said just spontaneously, she said, "Oh, a farmer's field ready for planting." And I turned to her and I said something like, "You really like that, don't you?" Of course, I've known that for 46 years, that she really likes that. "But you really like that, don't you?" And she said, "Oh, yes." I said, "Why?" And she said, "It's something about nature. Something about nature." April is here. The planting time has come. And you are a seed. What comes next is the watering and the weeding. I love this quote. Listen to this. Every April, God rewrites the book of Genesis. Wow. It's April. And today we are witnesses to another Genesis. The beginning. The birth. The creation of a new fellowship of believers. We're seeds. But we need to be watered. And we need to be weeded by the Holy Spirit. Why are we planting this seed? There are many reasons. But I love this story that I think also applies. A man was looking at his neighbor, 80 years old, planting a peach tree, a little young peach tree. And the neighbor kind of chuckled and he called over to his 80-year-old neighbor and he says, "You don't ever expect to eat peaches off that tree, do you?" And he said, "Nope, I don't." "Well, why are you planting it?" And he said, "Well, you see, it's like this. I've been eating peaches off of trees for years that somebody else planted before I came along. So I just want to plant this tree to thank them and to provide some peaches for people in the future." So here you are, planting because of what's come before you and those who have led you to Jesus Christ and taught you that worship is the top priority of the Christian life. And you're planting because you want those who come after you to have a place where they can worship in a way that you would like to worship. Today, you're not just planting for yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. But what kind of a seed are you? I'm not talking corporately, I'm talking individually. What kind of a seed are you? Well, we heard a reading from Matthew 13 where I hope Jesus helped answer that question in part. Jesus shared a parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed." I want us to be like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. You may be small. Someday you may be a mighty tree. Who knows? In Matthew 17, Jesus said, "If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there.' And it will move." I love what he said next. Are your ears open? "Nothing will be impossible to you." Wow. That's faith. Nothing will be impossible to you. You may be a small seed, but you are a seed of faith. You may grow into a larger planting, but more importantly, hopefully, you will grow in the Lord. Why? Because his seed is here for one purpose, and that is to worship the Lord. Henry David Thoreau said, "The smallest seed of faith is better than the largest fruit of happiness." But that seed needs to be watered. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said this, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow." So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We need to be a seed watered by the Holy Spirit. And if we don't get in his way, I think he'll do it. There was an Asian farmer who inherited a field. Not just any field, he inherited a rice field. And so he planted his crop, and he had abundant water, and the crop was lush and wonderful. He had so much water that the water overflowed to his neighbor's rice field. And his neighbor's crop was beautiful and fertile. So this heir to the field became jealous of what was happening to his neighbor. And he decided the next year he was going to keep all the water to himself. He said, I inherited this field. I inherited the water too. It's all mine. I'm not going to share it. So his neighbor's field withered. But guess what happened to his field? He had so much water that the crop rotted and destroyed everything because he held it to himself. God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides the water. If we receive the water with the right attitude and use it as God intends for it to be used, we will be blessed. But if we try to hold on to it, if we say it belongs to us and it doesn't belong to anyone else, God will surely either dry it up or overwhelm us with defeat. We have to hear the voice of God. Maybe in a future Sunday we'll talk about how to hear the voice of God. By the way, sometimes we don't plant seeds. Sometimes we plant seedlings. If you plant a baby oak tree, and if all goes according to nature, it will become a mighty oak, spreading its branches everywhere. I believe that's what the scripture said to us. They will be called oaks of righteousness. However, if you plant a wooden pencil, you can fertilize it and water it and give it all the sun you want, but it'll never be anything but a wooden pencil. Because there's no life in the pencil. There is life in the seedling. There's life in the seed. There's life in you. And you're planting. There's life in you. From life comes life. What we plant here today has life, but it needs to be watered and it needs to be weeded. Weeds always flourish. They're not rare. They're not fragile. If they were, people would run over to Walmart and buy a potted weed for $5 or $15. People would collect them. They would crossbreed them in their greenhouses so that they could have the perfect dandelion society. Dandelions are everywhere. They don't need us. They do as they please. So we call them what they are, weeds. And we kill them at every opportunity. The question, of course, is, what are you going to be in this fellowship? Are you going to be a flower or are you going to be a weed? If you sit there and wait to be asked to do something, well, you're like the teenager sitting at home waiting for his father to say, get out there in the front yard and pull the weeds. If you sit there and wait, you may do nothing. You have gifts. You have gifts. Every one of you has gifts. What are you going to do with your gifts? Are you going to be a flower or are you going to be a weed? Are you just coming here to soak it in or are you going to give of yourself? Let your branches flourish. In his explanation of the parable, Jesus said that the weeds represented the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. We don't want no devil in here. Correct? Whenever anyone tries to plant good seeds, the devil tries to attack them and uproot them. My friends, you're going to get attacked. You're going to be criticized. The devil is going to get into you. You're going to have disharmony. You're going to disagree. Go ahead and disagree. Just do it agreeably. You know how that works. It's going to happen. Nothing's perfect on this side of heaven. But are you going to be a devilish weed or are you going to be a beautiful flower? What are you going to be? Are you familiar with the kudzu vine? The kudzu vine, if you go down south particularly and you drive across the highway, you will see this green, lush, leafy vine choking the trees. The kudzu vine is a curse. They start as little seeds. They grow into something that is almost impossible to control. And they slowly destroy the vegetation. They take over. Don't you dare be a kudzu in this fellowship. And if you are, I'm calling on all you gardeners out there to put on your gloves and get busy and do some weeding. Here are my prayers for you. And they all come from the scripture I began with. If there is anyone here with a broken heart, may God heal it. If there's anyone here who is mourning, may God comfort you. If there's anyone here grieving, may God bestow a crown of glory and beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. But my greatest prayer for you is this, that you will grow from this seed into an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for one reason only, and that is the display of His glory. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that Your words and my words will fall on open ears and open heart. If there is anything that I have said, Lord, that is not of You, may it be stricken from the record. If there is anything that I have said that is of You, Holy Spirit, I pray that it will burn and burn and burn into the minds and the hearts and the spirits of those gathered, that we may grow as You would have us grow. Holy Spirit of God, I pray You will water this fellowship and weed this fellowship, and help us to sprout into something beautiful in Your time. And we thank You, as You have told us to do in all things. Now, Father, we bring an offering to You. And what we place here is a symbol of ourselves. We offer ourselves to You. May You multiply whatever is given in our means, in our lives, and use it for Your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you His peace now and forevermore. Amen. We are dismissed.